This is Uncovering the Truth in Minnesota. I'm Isabel Johnson.
And I'm Sarah Neve, and we are an investigative podcast based out of the state of Minnesota. And we would like to welcome you to today's episode.
The following episode contains graphic content and descriptions of sexual assault and murder. It may not be suitable for listeners under 18.
So on today's episode, we're going to be just doing a wrap-up of all three of the cold cases that we covered this season. We're going to refresh your memory on the basics of each case and then provide you with numbers to call or who to contact if you know anything about any of the cases. We are then also going to provide you with the sources that we used for each case after we discuss it.
So starting off with Suzanne Sales, as we all know, she grew up in Austin, Minnesota. She moved to the Twin Cities after finishing junior college. She got a job at the University of Minnesota Dental School, and she was a secretary for about 5 years. Around the time of her murder, she was planning on moving to Fargo with her boyfriend. He was a dentist student. And then this happened back in May of 1979. She was 24 years old, and Suzanne Sales was strangled and raped in her Minneapolis apartment, and that was located at 333 Southeast 8th Street. Suzanne Sales talked with her mother, Marilyn, on the phone about an hour before the murder. She didn't show up to work the next day, so her friend and coworker went to her apartment the following day, so that was May 23rd, and that was around 4:30 p.m. She was just trying to make sure she was okay and just, like, check up on her, maybe she was sick or something, and her friend actually found Sales dead on her apartment floor. It is believed that Sales did intend to show up to work the next day because her alarm was set. All the neighbors didn't hear anything around the time of her murder. There was no unusual sounds, activity, and so on. Sales' parents believe that she knew her killer and that she let her into the apartment because Sales was always very cautious about safety and had her apartment doors locked at all times, and there was no sign of forced entry. And again, the people around her also remember that Sales was getting concerned about phone calls that she was getting right before the murder, and the phone calls would basically be someone calls, she says hello, and then the person hangs up on her. Anyone with information on the murder of Suzanne Sales can call 911 or the BCA at 1-877-996-6222 or email the BCA at allbca.coldcase@state.mn.us. So the sources we used, or the people that we tried to reach out to for Suzanne's case, we reached out to the Minneapolis Police Department on two separate occasions. We reached out to a Star Tribune reporter named David Channon on two different occasions. We reached out to John Elder, who is the PR person for the Minneapolis Police Department. We reached out to him three times. We reached out to Jill Aviera. She did respond. We just aren't able to give any fresh information there. We reached out to the assistant to the Minneapolis Police Department police chief. We called him. There was no answer. We also used a couple online sources, those being CBS Local and Star Tribune, those online articles. And we did reach out to the Minneapolis Police Department cold unit.
Rachel Anthony was 50 years old when on the night of February 27th in 2001, she went missing from Ultimate Liquors in Pine River, Minnesota, which is where she was working at the time. Her body was found 6 weeks later on April 14th, 2001, by four teens who were out horseback riding. And her body was found in a ravine on Nelson Road in a neighboring town called Breezy Point, which has a very small population. At the time of her death, Anthony was living with her daughter, Jessica Anthony, in Pequot Lakes, Minnesota, which is less than 10 minutes away from where her body was found. She had another daughter and a son, and she also had grandchildren. So the events of this crime take place across three towns, which are all about 10 or 15 minutes away from each other. And those towns are Pine River, where she worked, Breezy Point, where her body was found, and Pequot Lakes, where she lived. They all take place in Cass County, Minnesota. On the night of her murder, it was a very cold winter Minnesota night, and Anthony had started her Ford Escort car she was driving to warm up before she left work. Pine River Police Officer Sean Bennett was on patrol that night and saw her car idling outside the liquor store at around 10 p.m. Then he drove past again and saw it was still in the same spot at midnight, which is when he did a welfare check and realized that Anthony was not in the store. Some of her belongings, including her purse and her coat, were found in her car. The front door of the store was locked, the back door was unlocked, and there was an incomplete transaction from 9:56 p.m. It is believed by investigators that that transaction was the killer's purchase. At the time of her death, many people believed that a local or someone close to Anthony had killed her because the cause of death was asphyxiation, which is typically an intimate way to kill someone, and the place where her body was found was not an easy access place, and if you weren't a local, you might not have known about it. No one was ever charged for the crime or arrested. The case remains an open investigation with the Minnesota Bureau of Criminal Apprehension, and Spotlight on the Crime is still offering up to $50,000 for information leading to the arrest and conviction of those responsible for Anthony's death. If you have any information on the death of Rachel Anthony, you are asked to call the Cass County Sheriff's Office at 218-547-1424 or 800-450-2677. You can also contact the BCA by emailing all lowercase bca.tips@state.mn.us or by calling 877-996-6222.
The sources that we used or that the people we reached out to for the Rachel Anthony case include Tom Birch, who is the original investigator. We reached out to him twice. Jill Oliveira, who again is the media person for the BCA, and we emailed her and she did respond to us saying that they cannot comment on an open investigation. We also talked to Chelsea Perkins, who was on one of the episodes, and she's a journalist for the Brainerd Dispatch, who extensively has written about the case. We also reached out to the Pine River Chief of Police, Paul Sand, and we reached out to Jessica Anthony, who was Rachel Anthony's daughter. The online sources that we used were the Brainerd Dispatch and the Duluth News Tribune.
And the third and final case that we investigated was Cindy Joy Ilias. She was only 19 years old when she was brutally beaten to death by an unknown killer, and this is still an unsolved case. On March 24th, 1977, she was having fun with her friends, hanging out, and around 12:30 a.m., she was trying to head home. It is believed that she was looking for a ride and was thinking about hitchhiking. And her friend said goodbye to her, and she went outside, and basically that is the last time that anyone would see her alive. Several hours later, her body would be found under a pile of brush off of a logging road, which was about 8 miles north of Aurora, Minnesota. Where she was found was about 30 minutes away from the bar that she was last seen in Virginia, Minnesota. She died from severe head trauma. At the time of her murder, Ilias was a college student in Virginia, Minnesota, and she planned on becoming a social worker after graduation. Ilias was the second youngest of seven siblings. The St. Louis County Sheriff's Office collaborates on this case with the Minnesota Bureau of Criminal Apprehension's Cold Case Homicide Unit. Her body was exhumed on November 3rd, 2008. As we talked about with Lieutenant Nate Skelton, they received a tip that she might have been shot. So they wanted to look, exhume her body, try to collect any uncollected evidence. But they soon realized after the fact that the tip was wrong and she indeed had not been shot. Even though Ilias's case is one of the oldest cold cases in the state, investigators still receive tips. They're still looking at the evidence and the sources, and they're hoping that with new advances in forensic science, this case can be solved. But as of right now, that's where it stands. It's unsolved. If you have any idea what happened to Cindy Joy Ilias, please call the St. Louis County Sheriff's Office at 218-749-7134. There is a $50,000 reward for information leading to the arrest and the conviction of the killer or killers. You can also call the BCA at 1-877-996-6222, or you can also email them at all lowercase bca.coldcase@state.mn.us. We reached out to a lot of human sources, and we also use online sources for this case, just like all the other cases. So the people that we reached out to are as follows: the St. Louis County Sheriff's Office, the Pioneer Press, WDIO, We also tried to reach out to Cindy Joy Ilias's sisters, Judy Edwards and Joyce Mikowiczek. We called them. The call could not be completed. And of course, we spoke with Lieutenant Nate Skelton, and he's the lieutenant for the St. Louis County Sheriff's Office. He was on one of our episodes, and we had a great time talking with him. The online sources that we used were articles from the NBC News, Twin Cities Pioneer Press, and an article from J.H. Moncrief. And the last online source that we used was findagrave.com.
So that concludes our wrap-up episode for Season 3. As always, thank you for listening. And if you know anything about any of those cases, please don't hesitate to reach out to those contacts that we provided at the end of the case summary. Otherwise, if you don't have access to those contacts or you don't feel comfortable calling them, you can also always call 911. Again, any tip is never too small. And the authorities that we have spoken to make it clear that they do investigate every tip they receive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, this season is all about unsolved cases. And basically, we just really wanted to shed some light on cases that we haven't really seen talked about in quite some time. And the whole point is to hopefully help get them solved. You know, that's the biggest goal of all, but basically it's just to spread the word and help the families and the friends of the victims.
Keep an eye on our social media, as we will be posting the contacts for any of those cases on our social media on Tuesday. And then in the upcoming weeks, we're also going to be announcing the release date for Season 4. We're going to take some time off, recharge, and start some new research. And so we'll be announcing that release date pretty soon here.
Yes. So it's not goodbye, it's see you later.
All right. As always, thanks for listening, guys. And we will talk to you on Season 4.
Bye.
Our missing person this week is Eric Patrick McGarity. He was last seen in Minneapolis, Minnesota on January 21st in the area of the 3200 block of Oliver Avenue North. McGarity is described as being a 36-year-old white male who is 5 feet 9 inches tall and weighs 150 pounds. He has short brown hair and brown eyes. Anyone who knows anything about the location of McGarity is asked to call 911 immediately.
Thanks for listening, and don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe.
Check out our Instagram and Twitter, which both are at UncoveringTheTruthMN. Each Tuesday, we post photos, statistics, and or any other relevant information to that week's episode. We also post new missing persons information, important news topics, and recent crime cases. You can email us at uncoveringtruthmn@gmail.com if you have any topic ideas, tips, or new information on past episodes, a missing persons case that needs to be shared, or any other relevant information for our podcast.
We would also like to thank our partner, DailyPlanetDC.com. If you go on their website, you can find our podcast along with lots of other great content.